I would like to talk to you about our parable in maybe a different way. I'm probably not going to give as much definition and carry away as I might normally, but we'll get to that. That's why my message is entitled Listen. Once a man came to Buddha with an offering of flowers in his hands, and Buddha looked up to him and said, "Drop it." The man couldn't believe that he was being asked to drop the flowers. Then it occurred to him that perhaps Buddha was asking him to drop the flowers that he had in his left hand, since to offer something with one's left hand was considered inauspicious and impolite. So he dropped the flowers that he held in his left hand. And Buddha said to him, "Drop it." This time the man was sort of unnerved by Buddha's request, so much so that he simply dropped all the flowers he had and stood before Buddha empty-handed. Buddha smiled at him and said, "Drop it." Perplexed, the man asked, "But Buddha, what is it that I am supposed to drop?" "Not the flowers, my son," said Buddha, "but the one who brought them." Now, if you get the point of such a story, you might have a chance at getting the parable of the sower when Jesus first told it, the parable we just read. You might have been able to get it, but probably not. You see, the kind of stories that Jesus told, he probably never explained them. In other words, the way that he is presented at explaining his parable in Matthew, which we did in read, the next few verses, 18 through 23, are a rather convoluted interpretation of the parable that was given. And it doesn't help really much as far as making anything much clearer. And scholars agree that it was probably just Matthew adding in his own commentary. But scholars agree that Jesus was apparently he was the kind of teacher who would just stand up in a crowd or wherever he happened to be and tell a story with no explanation. Then he probably just walked away. My bet is that if you had been there that day in that crowd of people, or if I had been there, we all would have been scratching our heads and saying something like, "What in the world is that supposed to be all about?" Obviously, it's not about agriculture or efficient gardening practices. Jesus was telling people a story in order to talk about something else. Problem is, he doesn't tell us what that something else is. Now, apparently, according to Matthew and others, he meant to precisely do that, meant to make it difficult, because this particular story of the sower who went out to sow was not just a parable, which comes from a Greek, was not just a parable, which comes from a Greek word that means set aside or to compare. But this was actually what was called a mashal, which is the Hebrew word for something called enigmatic speech. In other words, a short story whose meaning is not immediately apparent. It's something like a riddle intended to tease the mind slowly into thought. Something like Buddha saying, "Drop it." Drop what? Hopefully you begin to see what I mean about the likelihood of being just a little confused by Jesus if we had been there on that day as he gave the parable of the sower and the seed. So for a moment, forget about all the edifying sermons that you might have heard about this very familiar story, about the sower and his seed with all their neat, logical explanations of what really happened to all of those seeds. Forget about the judgment that we tend to load onto the parable as we label each other good and bad. Before Jesus would begin his stories, he simply said, "Listen." And when he finished, he said, "Let anyone with ears listen." People look and look, but never see, he says to us. They listen and listen, but never hear. So, hear this story again as if for the first time, but this time from the perspective of the bad soil. Listen. Once upon a time, there was a rock. And the rock stood alone and proud at the top of a mountain for as long as anyone could remember. It was bleak and cold and windy at the top of the mountain, but the rock liked it anyway. Up here, the rock was keen. He could see all the colors of the valley below him, but it was, after all, below him. Formed in the heat of the earth, hardened beneath tons of other rock, he needed no one. He was impervious to wind, snow, rain. He reigned alone and strong and possibly lonely. Though the rock was enormously strong, the mountain was not. And during the heavy rains, it would melt away beneath him. And he began to fall and fall and fall. Down and down he fell, further and further, until he came to rest in the valley. And when the storm ended, the rock found himself in the very bottom of the valley. The despised valley. He longed so much for his old perch high atop the mountain that he couldn't even hear the cry of the birds or appreciate the new warmth of the sun. After a long while, though, the rock began to enjoy the warmer air and the milder winds. He began to notice the life that surrounded him. The flowers that nodded in the soft breeze, and the tiny crickets and the lizards. He watched as the animals raised their young, and he watched the fields produce its flowers, especially the grains. He watched the cycle of growth, the sowing of seeds, the sprouting of the shoots. The way that they grew into long, graceful shafts. The harvesting each year as the days grew shorter. The coming of new life each spring and the sower sowing his seeds again. And as the years passed, the rock began to wish that he might take some part in the growing. That he might be permitted to produce grain of his own. And each year, the sower sowed his seeds. And then one year, some seeds fell on the rock where the lizard came to sun itself. But no sooner had the seed fallen than the birds came to snatch it away. Year after year, he watched as the sower scattered the seeds, covering him as well as the rest of the field. But the seed that fell on the rock, well, thought that it felt like it was wasted. At least he thought the birds get fed. Year after year, he was frustrated, longing more and more that he might be able to hold on to the grain. And year after year, his heart was broken. Strange thought, I didn't even know I had a heart. But there was something else that he didn't know. It wasn't only his heart that was breaking. The horrible crash down the mountainside had sent many tiny cracks throughout his impregnable rockiness. And each year, the rains in the fall fell, and they crept into those tiny crevices. And each year, as the water froze, they widened the cracks in the rock just a little bit more. Then one year after another, summer of frustration, the water settled into the cracks. And when the snows came, the water froze, and the rock felt himself splitting and splitting and splitting. And he wept as he felt his vaunted strength being surrendered by the tiny droplets of water. When the spring fall came, well, it just fell apart. Tiny parts of the rock fell all over the field. The rock was ashamed. He never had felt so low and so weak. And worse than that, much worse than that, each year the pieces grew smaller and smaller until they were only tiny grains of sand. And each summer, as the sun climbed higher into the sky, the rock prayed that no one would notice that he had been brought so low. Frankly, no one seemed to care. The sower just kept on sowing his seeds. The soil went on growing its grains. The harvest came every year. Then, after he grieved enough, when the spring came again, the rock thought, this year I may have been brought low, but at least I may keep the seeds. And indeed, as the seeds settled into the earth, some fell again upon the rock, or rather among the tiny pieces of him. And lo and behold, when the birds came, they could not find the seeds. And when the rains came, the seeds began to sprout. Ah, cried the rock, this year I too will bear fruit. And the shoots grew up, and the rock loved them, cherished them. And the sun got hotter and hotter, warming the rock, but scorching the tiny plants. When they withered, they died, and the rock wept again. His heart was broken again for the love of those tiny seeds. Why? Yeah. Why has the sower given me seeds that I cannot sustain? But there was no answer. Only another winter and another summer, year followed upon year, freeze upon freeze, reducing the rock to tinier and tinier pieces, enabling him to hold little more of the rain. Sowing the seed again and again. The sower never seemed to lose hope. Throughout the year after year, the tiny shoots would wither again and again, for water alone was not enough. And the rock's heart broke again and again. But the years passed, and something else was happening. Unseen by the rock, the remains of those tiny shoots were mixing in with the bits of rock and decaying. And each year, this new matter mixed with the bits of rock grew thicker, and it grew healthier. And each year, as the rock grieved the death of the tiny shoots, it grew more and more fertile. Then the springtime came, when the rock had grown small enough, unnoticeable enough, and he had lost enough of the tiny shoots that he was fertile. He had almost given up hope. Each year, the shoots had grown a little taller, but still they failed and they died. And this year, they seem to grow taller still. Was he mistaken, or were they truly taller than they had ever been? Were those tiny heads of grain forming on top of the shafts? Were those more of the blessed seeds forming and waving to the world in the soft wind? Yes, they were. His tiny seeds were bearing fruit. The rock looked about, look! Look at me. I'm growing seeds. I'm bearing fruit. Then he realized that he was now so small and so soft that he was no longer visible. He was so filled with the old matter left by the disappointment of old that his color and his texture were gone. And for the tiniest moment, he was tempted to weep. No one would ever see that he had borne fruit. No one is, that is, but the sower. Man once came to Buddha with an offering of flowers in his hands. Buddha looked up at him and said, "Drop it. Let anyone with ears listen."